Ditch the clocks and deadlines. Time is ours to define. In this world that's all mine, we let our spirit shine. Binging with benefits, sisters watching flicks. It's the perfect fit. Binging with benefits.
Hello.
Hello, babies.
Oh, welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Welcome to Binging with Benefits. I'm Becca.
And I'm Jess.
You sounded like an Australian. Oh, I'm Jess.
And I'm Jess. No. Oh, no. R and R. What is that? The R and R and R.
Yeah. The letters R and R.
R and R.
R and R. Rise up lights.
Rise up lights.
When you say rise up lights. And you say it quickly, it sounds like razor blades in an Australian accent.
Rise up lights.
Rise up lights. Anyway, that's a little tidbit for you.
And that was how to do an Australian accent. That's not how you do that either. Australian accent.
The last few episodes, there's been some things that have come up that have absolutely blown Jessica's mind.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's so funny. I think it's so funny. That I thought it would be fun to collect some facts that I think might blow her brain.
Oh, good.
So
we are ready to blow my brains out.
Nope.
Well, nope. We're going to blow my mind.
There we go. We're going to blow your mind.
Gosh.
You're like, wait, no.
Hold on a second.
Okay, so this is to quote a creator. His name is Nick Wilkins.
Okay.
He did a video on how to use a tampon with a water bottle.
Okay.
Have you seen those?
Oh, you mean like showing when they're like the girlfriend showing the boyfriend how a tampon works in a water bottle?
Yeah, but it's just him.
It's just him.
Doing it himself, and he's like, I have no idea what this is or like how to use it. Anyway,
okay.
There's a line in there that he says that I want to open with.
Okay.
Because I think it's so funny.
Okay.
Anyway, he pulls the tampon out of the water bottle.
Yeah.
And then he goes, whoa, if boys had periods, would they post pics of their tampons like the fish that they caught?
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Tell me he's wrong.
Look at this one, mate. I'm Australia still. Look at this one, dude.
Look at this one.
Oh, my God. You know what's okay. I got to tell you something that I heard related to men posting pictures with fish.
Oh, okay.
So a creator, I can't remember her name as well. She was posing a theory that most men have pictures of them holding fish on their profiles because it's one of the only times they feel comfortable asking their friends to take a picture of them.
Oh.
I know. So, because like we all know, us women are not impressed by your stupid fish pics.
No.
At all. We no. don't care. Like, please.
Honestly, it's kind of like
it's such
next.
It really is such a next. Like, it's really hard to come back from having a fish pic on your profile, to be completely fair.
Yeah.
Says these two women.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
But when she said that, I was like, oh, I guess that would make sense.
That's so sad.
I mean,
and that makes sense.
Taking pictures of ourselves and having our girls take pictures of us. Anyways, let's go back to blowing my mind.
Okay. Well, that one didn't blow your mind, but I'm just easing you into the into the fire. Okay, this one blew my mind.
Oh, okay, great.
Okay, bananas are berries.
No.
Hear me out.
No.
Strawberries are not.
No. Who is telling you this?
First of all, ChatGPT said it.
No.
Okay. But botanically, berries, like the definition of a berry.
Yeah.
You know how it's like fruits and vegetables with the seeds, whatever.
Sure.
Berries must come from a single ovary, which,
what?
Wow.
I didn't...
Are there any botanists listening?
Wait.
So they have a single ovary and have seeds inside.
A single ovary.
Which I don't even want to know what that means.
Well, I mean, if we're thinking about like the female reproductive system, like we have, okay, Wait, hold on a second. I'm so confused. Oh,
we've reached the peak blue mind thing.
Well, yeah, because I don't understand. Like ovary, are they using the term ovary in term of reproduction?
I assume so.
So where's, are we, oh gosh, are we eating the ovaries of every fruit that we eat?
Ew. Okay.
Nope. How does it create seeds? Hold on a second. I don't like this. Is so gross. I don't like this.
Take me back.
I wish I knew I could go back to life 5 minutes ago before I knew this and thought about this.
Okay. Well, just focus on the fact that bananas.
I refuse.
I know. I don't agree with it. But based on the qualifications that us humans have given berries,
okay,
it must have the seed inside.
What about an apple? Is an apple a berry?
Oh, come from a single ovary and have seeds inside.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
But
I know bananas qualify and...
And apples don't.
And apples don't and strawberries don't.
Strawberries... No, bananas do... Apples don't.
Yep.
It's like one of those stupid games where you're like, pass the broom. Can you pass the broom?
Oh my God. I freaking hate that game.
Or like, you can bring a doorknob, but you can't bring your curtain.
Absolutely not. I'm not playing those games.
I hate that crap.
No.
That's what this feels like to me right now.
Well, we're going to get out of that land.
Okay, great.
I'm going to jump over to time.
Why? I can't. We're like, okay, we're gonna start so easy. Here's fruit. And then I proceed to have a meltdown. And then she goes, let's talk about something simple like time.
Let's talk about the consciousness of time.
Heck no. This already oh my gosh, okay.
Okay.
Is this blow Jess's mind or is this make Jess livid? Anyway, keep going.
Story's still out. Okay. Time moves slower in stronger gravitational fields. At sea level, time ticks slightly slower than it does at the top of a mountain. Even GPS satellites need correction because of this.
So if you want to go back in time, you just go under the sea?
Yeah.
I don't like that. Wait. Now my non-mathematical brain is trying very hard to be like, there's gonna be a math equation for this.
Yeah.
So how much faster or how much in the future is, wait, hold on a second. But is it only because that's the mechanism is clock is ticking? It's not time itself.
No, it's just the man-made number
of
time.
Okay, because I was like, that does not make sense.
No, as far as I understand.
Okay, so just because of because clocks tick slower or faster at varying sea levels.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
that feels a little bit more manageable in my brain.
I'm going to go with that.
Okay.
Because I don't like the other one.
I don't like it.
This one is just an actual... Actually, I have two really fun facts.
Okay.
That will blow your mind.
Okay.
Okay. So two identical twins were separated at birth.
Okay.
They were adopted by different families, but they were both named Jim by the family.
Okay.
They both grew up to become police officers.
Okay.
They both married women named Linda.
Stop.
They both got divorced and remarried to women named Betty.
No way.
Not even done. Both of them had sons named James Allen.
What the hell?
Both owned a dog named Toy.
First of all, let's talk about naming your dog Toy.
I know.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Like, that's not even like Spike or something. You know, like, that's a pretty unusual name. And then they didn't meet until they were 39 years old.
Both named Jim.
Yeah.
Wait, this is real.
This is real.
When did this happen?
That I don't know.
I'm not gonna lie, for the beginning part of that story I was like, is this a math equation?
Yeah, no, literally. Sarah is buying 64 watermelons.
She has a twin across town also named Sarah.
She was also
bought 64 watermelons.
How many would she have if I don't care?
That's wild.
Yeah, isn't that insane? insane.
It's like that documentary where there's the triplets.
Yes. That is fascinating.
The documentary is called Three Identical Strangers, and it is so good.
Yeah.
If you like studying like sociological things, nature versus nurture is talked about in it.
A lot.
There's a lot that's talked about in it. It's just so, so good.
It's very fascinating.
It is. It really, truly is. Okay, blow my minds.
How many minds?
I don't know. At this point, I have zero.
The last one I have. This one I love. This is so cute. Okay, so the voice of Boo in Monsters, Inc.
Oh, so cute.
Was a real toddler.
Oh.
And because the little girl who voiced Boo was too young to sit still in a recording booth, they would have Pixar people would follow her around with a mic while she just babbled and played and wandered the halls.
Stop, are you kidding? I love this so much. There's
so
got to be footage of this somewhere.
Oh yeah, I'm sure there is. But yeah, they just, that became Boo's dialogue. Like there were no lines for her, obviously.
They were just like whatever we could get. Yeah. So she called Sully Kitty just because the little girl happened to say kitty.
Yeah.
So then did they film this little girl, or I guess record this little girl and then write the script? I guess maybe not. I don't think that's how that works. They probably wrote extra lines. I mean, how hard is it to get Billy Crystal and John Goodman to say a random thing?
Yeah.
Dang. Oh, I love that so much. Now I need to know, did they like put a GoPro on her and then it'd go around and record it that way? Or did they follow her with a boom mic around? I can see like an old man with the, like an old balding man carrying a boom mic running down the halls of Pixar trying to,
trying to keep up with the girl.
Exactly.
So funny. It's funny because I'm like, oh, I have some facts that'll blow your mind, and you're like, but what about all these other questions that I have? Because you didn't address that.
But that's how it always goes.
I know.
You're gonna bring something up and I'm just gonna be like, wait, but let me talk about the thing you didn't prepare to talk about, because my brain wants to know that.
Yeah. I'm all ready to get your mind blown, and then you're like, yeah, but I have a million questions first.
Sure, but let me blow yours with all the questions I'm gonna ask you right now.
I'm like, I don't know. This is the extent of what I know about the topic.
I'm so sorry. It's so funny.
Oh my gosh.
What?
It reminds me of Modern Family.
Oh, I thought you were saying it reminds you of Mom, because I can do that too.
Oh my gosh. Does that all the freaking time. Sorry, Mom, you do this a lot. Too. Okay, but in Modern Family, there's...
What? I almost interrupted you with the microwave thing.
What door? The microwave.
Just Bo Burnham, whatever that song is. Some girls did a sketch to it of like two sisters trying to have a conversation, and the Bo afterwards like, what door? The door to the microwave. What glass? The glass in the microwave.
It's just like, are you, put it together a little bit fast.
Come on. Anyway, sorry. Modern Family.
In Modern Family. I don't remember if it was Midge or Cam who sees James Marsden is in their backyard as...
Oh, that's right. As the like, yeah.
Anyway, so Midge and Cam are putting Lily to bed and they look outside their window and they see a strange man, James Marsden. And they're like, oh my gosh. And so I'm just going to say Mitch saw him first.
Okay.
And like, Cam, get in here. And it like comes over and he's like, oh my gosh, who is that? And he's like, I don't know. How long has he been there? I have just as much information as you have.
Yes. Like,
so funny.
Me and Cam asking the quiet parts out loud.
I don't know.
It's funny because like Mom will sit there and have conversations with herself, which is fine. Like I do it too, not to the extent that she does it and not to the volume that she does.
No, she's literally full volume as if she's talking to you. So I'll just be like scrolling on my phone and I'm like, are you talking to me?
No, literally every time. And I like, even though I've asked her, she's like, no, I'm not talking to you. And then like a few minutes go by and she'll do it again. And I'm like, are you still not talking to me? Like, but then there's also times when she is talking to you and you're just not sure.
I know. And then you're like, wait, are you talking to yourself or are you talking to me? Something. Yeah, she's doing a grocery list and then she's like asking herself questions. And so we're all sitting there like, what, who's she?
Do we answer? What is she? Anyway, but so like they'll have the conversations to themselves and I will just ask all the questions in my brain. I can't let them sit in my brain. They have to come out.
You're like, here's a bullet point. And she's like, okay, well, A, B, C, D, D, but you know, like all the way down. And then A, B, A, C.
A, 1, A, 2.
We're out of letters for the questions.
Oh, no, that's unfortunately how my brain works.
That's so funny.
But you know what? I think curiosity is a really good quality to have. Mm-hmm. It's something I look for in people I want to associate with as well.
That's true, actually.
Like, if you're not curious, one, you're not my people, but two, like...
That's so annoying.
It tends to mean, to me anyways, what I've experienced with people who aren't curious, they're not as empathetic.
Mm.
And that's important.
That's interesting.
Right? Are you ready to hear about my thing?
Yes. I am so excited.
Okay.
She's been teasing this one for a couple weeks.
It has. It's been like months, I think. So actually, like, yeah, I watched this a couple months ago with a friend. And he was like, you need to do this for the podcast. And I was like, no way, no way. And then as I'm watching it, I'm like, crap, I've got to do this for the podcast. okay, so buckle up. Ready? Okay, because what I'm going to tell you is like, it's technically history. Technically.
Okay.
But if that history was also written by somebody who like chugged Monster Energy, like a Kevin or a Kyle. Right.
Okay.
Oh, and then it's also like a mix of like 300. The like, Spartan? yeah.
Dude, whoa.
Exactly. Was that?
Oh wait, no, that's
something else. I think that's Hook. That's way opposite than 300. Too long. You mean this is Sparta? Same action, kicking somebody off a cliff or something.
Too long. Too long. Okay, sorry. Keep going.
But anyways, so it's like they chugged a Monster Energy. They watched 300, but then they took a nap in the Lincoln Memorial. Okay.
Okay. Wow.
We are talking about Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. I kept calling it Vampire Slayer earlier today. It's not. It's Vampire Hunter. Okay. And that's the real title. That's the real thing. This is written by the same person who wrote Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies.
I wondered.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is apparently, these are the only two movies that of this person's work that got made. So now this series is complete after this.
You're like, no more zombie movies.
No more of those movies. Yeah. Like, I don't know, for some reason this was like a popular thing back in this time period to do this. But yeah, it's real actors. It was like a big budget too, really? It turns out. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to start in Indiana. Okay. And little Abraham Lincoln lives there with his family and he's like, he's a working class family. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he's probably maybe like 11 or 12 around this time. Okay. His dad was hired by this guy named Jack Bartz. They're working at a dock. Abe is helping his dad. His mom is doing something else. Like all three of them are there for some reason. I don't know, like if they all work together or something. Bartz starts trying to sell a free black man into slavery. Okay. So Bartz basically makes his money by slave trade.
Yes.
I know.
Wait, Bart is dad?
No. Bartz is the guy that dad works for.
Oh.
Bartz is like really evil looking too. Like, he has like the, oh my gosh, I don't know the character's name in The Matrix. Who's the guy, whoever the guy is that hands the blue and red pill to Neo, and he has those weird little glasses.
Yeah, they're like spoons.
Yes.
Like plastic spoons. Yes.
This is what this man is wearing. And he's wearing a top hat, got nasty, nasty teeth. Like he's obviously a bad guy. So basically he's trying to sell this, like a kid into slavery. And the kid happens to be Abe's friend. So Abe tries to go to defend him. Chaos ensues. Basically, dad gets fired for standing up to Bartz for trying to sell this kid into slavery, even though he was born a free man. Okay. Jeez. And
still so insane that that's a part of our history.
I know. Isn't that wild?
That's It's disgusting.
Basically, also in this story, like, slavery is like run by vampires.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I know. That's
funny.
Isn't that weird?
They're like, we have a message.
We have a message. These blood-sucking people are the reason there was slavery. Mm. Well, that sounds too accurate. Anyways, Dad stands up to Bart's. Bart's gets mad, fires Dad, and he's like, oh, by the way, the payments that you owe me, like, that you're working off, you have to pay that now. And he's like, the only way you're getting this money is, like, if it's wrapped in my closed fist, basically. Like, and he's like, oh, don't worry, like, there's other ways to repay debt. And he's like looking at Abe's mom.
Ah,
I know. And so you think a certain thing, right? You think a certain way. And later that night, they're in their cabin, they're asleep, and Abe wakes up basically to this guy is a vampire. Okay, Bart's is a vampire, basically giving his mom the kiss of death.
Oh.
And like infects her with some like vampire poison something or other, and he has to sit there and he watches his mom die, and it's like horrific, terrible, sad. And so Abe grows up.
Wow. Okay.
I know, this is literally like 5 minutes in and we're already like full trauma origin story. Okay. Jeez. Like insane. So he grows up obviously with revenge on his blood, brain, everything, right? And he tries to take revenge by shooting Bart's one night. It's like adorable, but it's like ineffective because he's a vampire. And this is where we find out for sure he's actually a vampire, right?
Well, we didn't know from the blood sucking.
He didn't do like blood sucking. I knew it was Bart's. I don't know if we're supposed to know it's Bart's when he gives mom the kiss of death.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because he had a top hat on and he had a ring. I think it's supposed to, like, you're supposed to draw those connections, but you're not quite sure.
Yeah, but you're not definitively sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now you're sure because he tries to kill him. He shoots him in the eye and then, like, he falls back and Abe tries to go away and he turns around and he's gone again. And then he starts attacking him again and now he's, like, actually a vampire. Okay, so now after the vampire, Bart's has come back to life and is attacking Abe Lincoln again, there's a man named Henry Sturgis, and he comes and basically saves him and like yeets him up the side of a, like, I don't know if they say that word anymore.
You know, it's so funny, really quick. Yeah. I had a coworker who would say, I'm just gonna yeet this off real quick, when he would, instead of saying like, oh, I'm gonna send this,
yeah,
I'm gonna yeet this off, I'm gonna yeet this email off.
I would love to yeet an email off every once in a while.
Oh yeah. I hope this email does not find you well. Yeah.
Exactly. Bart's gets away. He doesn't go, like, he doesn't like die, but he gets away. Yeah. Henry is like, hey, look, if you want to kill vampires, first of all, you're really stupid. Don't shoot them. You're a dummy. Yep. But I can train you how to kill vampires. Right. And then we get into this like insane montage of like him being trained.
Oh my gosh.
Like, first of all, first thing he does is like Abe with an axe, right? Because was Abe chopped down the cherry tree? Washington. Oh, you're right. Okay, never mind. Then I don't know why the axe, but he has an axe.
Well, maybe the writer made that mistake too.
Maybe. He has an axe basically throughout this whole thing. When he first goes to attack and defend his friend on the dock, he's a kid running with an axe. So
this is Thor's hammer.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah, Thor's hammer. But Abraham's axe. Okay. And so Henry takes him to the forest and he's like, here, chop down this tree. And he's like, okay. He's like, no, but with one swing. He's like, that's impossible. No, but this isn't a tree. This is all your anger and da da da. Basically trains him to be able to chop down a tree with one swing. Okay. So he's learning how to swing an axe. He's running full speed while blindfolded, like, it, like, trying to, you know, yeah, doing, this is vampire hunting training. Oh, yeah,
okay, for every angle.
Yeah, exactly. But Henry also has rules for Abe and is like, look, if you're gonna kill vampires, this is how you have to do it. No personal connections, no revenge killings, and no turning your trauma into a personality.
Okay, those are all the things I want to do.
exactly. So like, he listens to exactly none of those.
Yeah.
Right?
Literally why we're here.
Exactly. Okay, so he's done his vampire training. Henry's like, hey, you're going to go move away. And every once in a while, I'm going to send you some like coded notes and you're going to go kill vampires. Like, we're going to kill vampires together. I'll kill ones. But when I become aware of ones that are near you in some way, I will send you a sign and you go kill that vampire.
Sound like DoorDash.
Yeah. DoorDash.
I'm going to DoorDash you go kill that vampire.
What would a DoorDash for vampire killers be called?
That's a scary website.
Oh, now I want to figure this out.
I'm going to ask chat. If DoorDash. Stakeout.
Okay.
Fight Squad.
Okay.
Slay Dash.
Slay Dash.
Garlic Go.
Garlic Go?
Yeah.
Stop.
Crypt Card. Crypt Card. That's a good one. Nocturnal Knock. Blood Block.
Ew.
Fang Fast.
Fang Fast.
Well, there is Crypt Card for sure.
Crypt Card?
No Instacart.
Garlic it's Go card, is so funny to me.
Crypt Card. I'm going to Crypt Card for this vampire real fast.
Exactly. So he has to like Crypt Card him while he's like going throughout the rest of his life, right?
Okay, got it.
Okay. So Abe moves to Springfield, okay? And he becomes like a retail, like he basically goes to a shop and we meet this guy named Speed.
Okay.
I know. It's like, what have I seen him in? I know he's in Westworld for people out there who've seen it. I feel like you might recognize him if you were to see him. But anyway, his name is Speed. Don't know why. But he's the shop owner and he hires Abe to like help be a shopkeeper in Springfield. Okay.
Okay.
So he, during the day, he's like helping running the shop. And then at night he starts hunting vampires. And he has now taken this axe and he has like custom silver tipped it. So like you can kill vampires with this axe, you know, but it also has a shotgun inside the handle. Like it's, whoa, it's like DIY Etsy, but like deadly. Whoa. Okay. Like he's like gun in and done like
DIY deadly.
DIY deadly. Except deadly at yourself.
Yeah. Deadly. I was going to say the D stands for deadly. Deadly at yourself.
I love it. Remember the kid that he saved from slavery back then? He comes back and he's like, hey, I heard you, like Will, his name is Will, the kid that he saved before. He comes back, he's like, hey, I heard you moved here. I just wanted to see you. Like, I actually am in a little bit of trouble. I have these guys chasing me, swearing that I'm a slave. And I basically, you know, it works out because Abe's been studying to be a lawyer. And he's like, hey, I hear you're studying to be a lawyer. I need help. I need some papers drawn up that show that like I'm a free-born man, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, he reconnects with Will, comes back and he's like, hey, I need to draw up these papers, you know, help me out type of thing. And he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. He is leaving the shop. And then as they're leaving the shop, Will sees like, hey, this guy, he's the one who's been chasing me. And so then they get into this big fight in the middle of the street. Him and his friends are trying to take Will into slavery, get into a big fight. The cops show up and they end up in prison. A little bit earlier that day, Abe met Mary Todd.
Okay.
His soon-to-be wife. Okay. So he met her earlier that day. She's pretty like well-to-do, pretty affluent. She's obviously taken a liking to Abraham, even though she's like with this other dude. But anyway, so she comes and basically breaks him out of jail.
Okay.
Or not breaks them out, pays for them to get out of jail. But then, you know, Abe starts to kind of fall in love with Mary Todd and they, you know, go on dates and she's like got a mind of her own. Like she's very spunky. She's wealthy, but she is actually engaged to this guy. Okay. Ooh. But basically, like once she starts to get to know him and everything, she's like, never mind. Game over with other dude. Like I'm head over heels for Abe now.
Got it.
Okay. So they get married.
Yay!
Congratulations. And everything seems totally normal, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, everything's good. And except during this whole time, Henry has been crypt carding to Abe every once in a while. Like, he's called a pharmacist. He's killed this random other guy in a bar. Like, and Abe's getting frustrated because he's like, when do I get to go kill Barts? I'm trying to, like, avenge my mother's death. And he's like, you don't. Like, just wait.
He's
just
like,
wait.
That's one of the rules we talked about.
We don't kill, do revenge killings. So at the wedding, Henry is there because Henry is obviously now one of Abe's closest friends. And so Henry pulls him aside and like basically tells him about this head honcho vampire.
Okay.
And the head honcho vampire is called Adam. And they call him Adam because he's the start of the vampires. Okay. And so this is where we learn, once we hear from Henry, like, Adam's the reason slavery is a thing, basically. So he's the like alpha vampire. Like, he's ancient. He literally is the start of the vampires. He's rich and he's just like very much into human trafficking. Okay.
Wow.
So around this time is, sorry, around this time in the movie, Abe gets impatient and he's got to kill Bartz. So he tracks down Bartz.
Oh no. Okay.
This, I cannot emphasize this enough. This next fight is ridiculous.
Oh,
okay.
No.
So remember how I said it's kind of like 300? I know you haven't seen it, but it's like, it's ridiculous fighting. Like, it's like people flying through the air.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Okay, but this one, okay, it is a horse stampede fight scene.
Wait, what?
Exactly. Okay.
Like,
so he catches up with Bartz, and basically Bartz lets out this huge herd of horses where this Bartz is, right? And he opens the gate and he is trying to, you know, leave Abe, because he realizes like, oh, Abe's like, actually, he's not gonna beat me, but he's actually very like skilled, so I'm gonna run away. And so he opens up this gate, lets all these horses out, and hops onto a horse. There's tons of horses, so Abe hops onto a horse too. Now, when I say horse stampede fight, what do you think is happening in your brain?
My brain instantly went to Lion King with Mufasa.
Okay.
The stampede of, what were those called?
Wildebeests.
Wildebeests.
Yes. Okay.
That's kind of what comes to my head.
Okay. So how are they fighting?
Are they like jumping from horse to horse?
Yes.
Oh no.
So these horses are running full speed. Okay. Clouds of dust.
Yeah.
Everything. And they are hopping horse to horse because he's a vampire hunter and he's a vampire. He can do it. And then Becca, at one point, vampire guy hops off the horse onto the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Catches a horse by its leg as it's running by and swings it around over and over again and chucks a horse at Abraham Lincoln.
Listen to that sentence one more time.
That's what I mean.
Some guy picked up a horse and chucked it
at Abraham Lincoln.
Is that the title of our episode?
Right? Some guy picked up a horse and chucked it at Abraham Lincoln.
Abe Lincoln got a horse chucked at him.
I didn't even turn away in time. I laughed full face into the mic there.
Oh, that's so good.
I think that's the name of this episode.
Perfect.
Abraham Lincoln got a horse chucked at him.
So funny.
But basically, yeah, it's ridiculous. It's the most unhinged thing you've ever seen in your life. Ever.
Oh my god.
Ever. Okay. Okay, yes. Basically, at the end of this horse stampede fight, he does kill Bartz.
Ooh, nice job.
So check that off his list. His revenge killing is done.
Awesome. Right?
So years and years and years later, okay. Abraham Lincoln becomes president.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But he never stopped hunting vampires.
Oh, of course.
Never once. He just got better at it. At doing it in a suit. Okay.
He can do it in a suit
now. He doesn't need to take off his jacket and roll up his sleeves anymore. He's in full suit, hat, everything.
Wow. He doesn't mess around. He's still wearing his hat.
I know. Okay. So, as he's president, he has now learned that the Confederate Army is using vampires as secret weapons. Okay, so there's a
okay.
Look, this is the movie.
Is this a movie or is this real life?
That's what I said. It's technically historical.
I'm thinking it is historical.
Honestly?
Why are we thinking this is not real?
Look. You know, I say this often. If you can think something is happening, if you can imagine something is happening, maybe it is happening somewhere in the world.
Yeah, which is really scary.
Right? I won't sit here and tell you and like hot take and say I believe vampires were in the Confederate Army. But like
symbolic, at least.
Yeah. Okay. And so how they're using them basically is like they're just having these, they're drafting vampires. Adam, he's obviously for the Confederate side because he likes slavery and that's his business, right? Mm-hmm. They basically put vampires in the army and they start shooting at them, but obviously it doesn't work and they just all drop their weapons. They charge at the other people and they kill them all. Okay. So that's the secret weapon.
Wow.
The North obviously is not winning at this point. So Abe gets an idea like, hey, silver bullets. Right. So he orders all of the country's silverware and jewelry and trinkets and he melts everything down into weaponry. Okay. Wow. And he sends it all on a train to Gettysburg.
Okay.
So he's sending all the silver on a train. But here's the tea. You remember Shopkeeper Speed?
Yes.
Shopkeeper Speed has been like besties with Will and Abe this whole time.
Wait. Oh, wait. That's... Wait. Wait. Was Speed a good guy? I don't remember now.
I know. Speed was the shopkeeper. I didn't really touch on that. Like, they became friends and they all were kind of friends together. He was like, he's around the same age as Abe and, you know, he's friends with Abe this for years and years and years, but we find out he's actually going to betray Abraham Lincoln. Okay. He sells them out to the vampires. Okay.
Literally Judas.
Literally. For silver. More than three pieces, but or however 10 pieces. I don't remember. Bible, whatever. He sells them out to the vampires because he thinks the war is lost and he really wants to survive. And he's just like,
last resort.
Yeah. I, you know, it's literally like Judas.
Yeah.
Okay. But he ends up regretting it because, you know, the vampires all come and they all storm this train. Basically, they all tricked Speed and the vampires. There was no silver on this train. There's no silver on this train because they wanted to get all the vampires in one place so they could destroy them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so obviously Speed regrets selling it out.
Yeah.
He tries to make it right, but he dies. Adam kills him for betraying. Adam, the nasty vampire guy.
So Adam kills him because he betrayed
Yes. He kills him for being a Judas. And being a Judas to him, too.
Yeah. He was a double spy.
He was a double agent. Yeah.
How dare you?
So they're like, where's the silver? Where's the silver? Yeah. And one of Will's old connections, because Will, you know, was fighting to prove that he's a free man.
Yeah.
During this time, there was something called the Underground Railroad.
Yes.
And so they're like, where's the silver? And Will goes, this isn't the only railroad.
Oh, burn!
Exactly. So they sent all the silver with the Underground Railroad system and Harriet Tubman.
Wow.
So they were taking it to the armies.
Amazing.
In the North.
Wow, that's cool. I like that.
Isn't that fun?
That's amazing.
So there's an epic battle on this burning train. Like, it's all on fire. Like, you know, it's insane.
Is it moving?
Yes.
Oh, so it's like a death train.
Oh, yeah. I mean, remember, we are talking 300 still. So they're jumping car to car. It's insane levels of trying to survive
fire and
action and vampires and, like, you know, catching bullets midair type nonsense.
All of
the things. Okay. So they finally fight off the vampires and Abe finally kills Adam.
Wow.
The head honcho vampire.
Oh, I thought you said he beheaded him.
Oh.
Does he?
No. He kills him with a silver pocket watch and an axe to the chest.
Oh, bullseye.
Yeah, it's pretty messy. Ugh. But, you know, done. He's dead. Dead. Legit dead. Well, okay. I did forget to tell you this part. There is a twist here that comes earlier when you're watching the movie, but I forgot all about it in my notes. I'm like, wait, I don't remember telling you out loud this part. And now we're at the,
part where it ties back
where
in.
Where it ties back in. Wow. So earlier, before Abe has become president and all of this stuff, Abe finds out that Henry, the guy who's been training him,
yeah,
is a vampire.
What?
Okay. So Henry is a vampire, but he's a good vampire. Okay. And he was turned into a vampire by Adam. Okay. Years ago.
I don't trust you, bro. Ago.
I know. So this obviously causes an issue between Abe and Henry. He's like, I don't know if I can trust you. Like, vampires
can't
be trusted.
That's how we know so much about defeating vampires.
Yes, because he is a vampire. Yes. So Henry has like this vendetta against Adam because Adam turned him into a vampire but drained his fiance in front of him.
Oh.
Exactly.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Right. So, yeah, Henry's a vampire. Abe and him are like trying to figure out how to work together and trust each other because they're not sure at this point. Like, he's like,
yeah,
Now I'm a vampire. You could kill me.
Yeah.
And also, now I know you're a vampire. How do I trust you? Type thing. Yeah. Anyways, but he's obviously Henry and Abe and Will were there helping to fight so they worked together to defeat Adam.
Okay.
So now the vampire army has been defeated because the North now has the silver bullets and everything, and they've finally figured out how to kill all the like undercover vampire people in the Confederacy. Okay. So the Union wins the war, and Abe writes the Emancipation Proclamation like a boss, right?
We love it.
And Henry's like, hey, you could keep fighting forever. I can give you immortality. You can fight forever. You can, you know, fight slavery, fight vampires. And Abe says, no.
Same.
I know, right? He's like, no, I don't think so. I want to live a life.
Yeah.
I want to grow old. I want to do the thing and, you know, die with my wife and all of that.
Yeah.
So the last scene is Abe is getting ready to go to the theater.
Aww.
I mean, you know what's coming here.
Yeah.
they don't show it, but they imply that John Wilkes Booth might have been a vampire too.
Oh.
Before he leaves to go to the theater, he hands Henry this like journal that's all of his life story and like all of his vampire hunting, all of this stuff. And so Henry is reading this story and he goes off and obviously meets his end at the theater. Now the final twist, it jumps forward to modern day.
Oh, okay.
Henry's still alive. Yeah.
Wait, because he's a vampire, right?
Because he's a vampire.
Okay. So okay. That's all I was talking
about. Yeah, no. I know exactly. Well, he survived. So he's still alive. He's sitting in a bar, and this is exactly how he met Abe Lincoln at the beginning. He's watching somebody at the bar, and he's like, hey, you know, I think you've had enough. A person only drinks that much if they want to kiss a girl or kill a man. So what is it for you? And then he hits him real hard, and a, you know, gun fell out of Abe's pocket, and a gun fell out of this guy's pocket. And he's doing it present day. He's like, so what is it this time? And he hits him and the guy's gun falls to the ground. So he is looking for a new vampire hunter. And yeah, that's it.
Wait, so the guy that he hits, is that also a president of
we don't know.
Ours? Oh, it's literally just so ambiguous.
It's so ambiguous. Like, it's like they set it up for some kind of a sequel, but then they just like never did anything.
That's a good one.
Exactly. So basically, takeaways, right? Uh-huh. Vampires are responsible for racism.
Yeah.
And Lincoln canceled them all with his hot friends and his like gun axe thing. Okay. I mean, seriously, I was like, never, first of all, the actor they got to play Abe Lincoln and the prosthetic that they did on him, I'm like, that looks like Abe Lincoln.
Wow.
Cool. And I've never once looked at Abe Lincoln and been like, hey, that's hot, right? But watching the movie, I'm like, do I like Abe Lincoln? I have a crush on Abraham Lincoln?
Is that the title? Oh my gosh. Do I have a crush on Abraham Lincoln? Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
It's like Hamilton, but with decapitations.
Gotcha.
The real lesson is to always carry silver and never trust the bestie who owns a retail store.
Who owns a retail store? So specific.
Exactly. And yeah, horse stampede fighting, ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
But that is Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
I love that.
It's so stupid.
That is so funny.
It is like, oh, I would say to watch it. I've now seen it twice. Because I watched it again today.
Yeah.
I would say to watch it, but only watch it if you're like, you know what, we're with a group of friends and we want to have a good time.
Got it. Okay. Oh my gosh, I love it. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I have never heard of that movie.
Never once? I feel like once I heard about Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, then this one came out shortly after.
How funny.
I want to say like within the year after or something. Mr. Darcy. But yeah, like this was a thing for a while. Like they loved to take lovable historical
things. That is so
and turn them into something dark and twisty.
They're like, Twilight did pretty good. Let's try this.
Vampires? Let's do it.
Abraham Lincoln
is a vampire hunter.
Vampire hunter.
Oh yeah. Absolutely, babes.
Love it.
But anyway.
That's a fun movie.
That's it.
I love that.
Good.
That is a fun movie.
Oh, do you have a benefit for me?
I do. Yeah. So the benefit today is another podcast.
Oh, okay.
So it is called The Ed Mylett Show.
Oh my God.
Okay.
I love Ed Mylett.
We're in this household. We love Ed Mylett. So his podcast, you're like, cool. It's awesome. What about it?
Yeah. Like, great. Okay.
This guy, Ed Mylett. Think of like a big buff dude.
Yeah.
Who is like tall, intimidating, tattoos.
Honestly, he looks like an Alpha Con bro.
He literally does.
I literally judged him by the way he looked when I first heard about him from Dallin. And I was like, I'm not listening to this man.
He is so kind-hearted.
Yes.
And just so down to earth that it is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And he has these episodes. Every other episode is about 30 minutes long. And it's usually about ways to like be better at who you are. Mm-hmm. The one that he just posted today, The Dangerous Power of Old Stories You Keep Replaying.
Oh, shoot. I need to listen to that.
And then like every other episode is he's interviewing somebody from like the top of whatever market they're in. And these people are from any market, like computers, health, entertainment, like just it doesn't matter. Like he is just interviewing everybody and everything. And it's not just about their industry, it's like, how did you get here? And also your personal growth. How did you get here?
Yes.
And I love it so much because when I go to the gym, first of all, when you're like, I really don't want to go.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not feeling it today. I'm like, you know what? Ed Mylett, he's gonna pump me up.
The power of one more.
Yes, the power of one more.
Yeah.
That is like his tagline.
Yeah.
Because he always talks about the power of one more and like how, you know, oh, if I just make one more phone call, maybe that's the one that, you know, changes the trajectory of my business or my life. And I literally, when I'm doing a set, I'm like, okay, one more. The power of one more.
I do that when I do my sets too. I'm like, oh, you think you're done? I'm going to push it for one more.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Just when you think you're absolutely done, I cannot do another one.
Yep.
Do one more.
Yep.
Because you can.
Yeah.
And I think that's just so powerful in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. But anyway, his podcast is just the most uplifting thing I think I've ever found. And it's so profound. I don't know, it just is wild because he's a very self-made person. He came from nothing. Like, he wasn't rich and famous, and
his dad was an alcoholic.
Like,
it was just, there was not enough food on the table, not enough money.
Nothing. And he just was like, you know what, I want different for my life, and I'm gonna do something different. And he did. And like, it's just such an incredible podcast that you just gotta listen to it and thank me later,
because seriously,
it really is.
Like, his short little episodes are so good. Like, our brother Dallin said this, and I think about this every single time, like, listening to him, I feel like I can run through a brick wall. Like, I don't know what it is about the way that he speaks or the way that he frames things, because it's not like he's sitting there yelling at you or anything. Like, there are times where he's like, no, you can do more, but he's doing it in a kind way. And the way that he like empowers you, and just, I don't, I agree 100%. It's so funny that you listen to him in the gym, because at my old gym, one of my friends there, like, Ed Milet's like not super, like, he's well known, like, he's, but like, for some reason, people that I run into don't know who he is. But I ran into somebody at the gym, one of my friends, and he would listen to Ed Milet to work out. And I was like, dude, he's like, dude, you listen to this episode today, listen to this one. And it's like, he just so good. Like, he just is very inspiring and empowering, and just like a kind dude. It seems like, he seems like he's got a really good head on his shoulders.
Just very, very kind. And he, like you said, he's not yelling at you. Like, he's, and I sincerely feel like he is talking to me. Like, and that is such a superpower to have. And also, I hope you feel like we're talking to you.
We're talking with you.
We literally are. So, no, but it's just, it's such a superpower to have that kind of power, I think, in your speech.
100%.
And who you are in your existence. Like, he has mastered that. And, like, let me learn all of it, because I just, like, he is just so inspirational, and I just, can't get enough.
Me too.
Side note, when we're talking about inspirational speakers, Tony Robbins is another great example. He is another Ed Milet, which I don't know how, but they both exist on the same plane of existence. So Tony Robbins has a movie on Netflix, and just warning, there is a lot of cursing.
He's a very, he loves the F word.
The F word is his favorite word.
Samesies.
But he does discuss why. And I think it's really fascinating, because he says, like, you know, you're at a convention, and then you hear the F word, you're like, wait, what? You know, like, you're very much so listening. He is another one that is just so incredible. And that movie, a minute and a half, clock it, a minute and a half, tears. Full tears.
Wow, Becca.
A minute and a half.
Okay, I'm scared to watch this now. I don't want to cry.
No, it's like a good cry. You're just like, wow, this man just touched another man's soul.
Oh, I love that.
Like, he just really changed somebody's life right in front of your eyes. And you're just like, wow. Like,
I love that.
Yeah, like, you, it's like, wow, I saw that moment. Like, anyway, it was just, it's just so powerful. And so, anyway, both of those people... Do a deep dive, because they're both incredible. We need more of that in our lives.
Yes, we do. We need more empowerment. We need more incredible people. We need more incredible speakers.
We need inspiration. More kindness.
We need more kindness. We need more kindness. 100%.
And and for yourself too. Like,
yes,
you know, kindness to yourself.
100%.
So anyway,
I love that.
I love both of them.
I'm glad that you shared that. I know I haven't listened to Ed's podcast in a very long time. I need to get back on that and turn that on. I think it's been probably a little under a year since I've listened to his pod, but it's so good. I don't know why I stopped.
Literally just press play and just let the episodes play. And you just
100%.
Yeah.
Oh, love
you'll
it.
Feel more.
The power of one more.
Yeah, it's the power of one more. Exactly.
I love it. Thank you.
Thanks for telling me about Abraham Lincoln.
You know.
Hey, your new crush.
My new crush.
Your new boyf.
My boyf. So wild. Oh my gosh. So funny. Well, you know, thank you guys so much for listening.
Yeah, that was a fun ride.
It was a ride for sure. Yeah. It was a horsey ride. So dumb. Sorry, that was bad. I loved it. Oh my gosh. Yeah, thanks for listening. Thank you for liking and commenting and subscribing, rating, reviewing, sharing.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. Please share. You guys are great. So hopefully you enjoyed this. I don't know.
It's like, you're great.
You're fantastic. Gold star.
Gold star.
Yes. Oh gosh. But yeah, we'll have to yap at you in a next week.
I'm so excited for next week's, because that's gonna be another fun one. I mean, when are they not fun?
Hello, we're fun.
Well, next one's fun. Next one's fun.
Next one's fun. This one's fun. This one's fun.
Everyone is fun.
Every single one. So listen to them all and share them all.
And do it.
Okay. Yeah.
Love ya.
All right, love ya. Bye.
Ditch the clocks and deadlines. Time is ours to define. In this world that's all mine, we let our spirits shine. Binging with benefits. Sisters watching flicks. It's the perfect fit. Binging with benefits.